Good morning.
Good morning.
Especially good morning to our guests today, and we are so glad to have you here. As we look at the epistle from Philippians, it's hard to reconcile our modern day faith with Paul's faith. So often, it's just not something that society will let us do. Paul found something in Jesus that emboldened him to forfeit his previous life, to give it up, to go in a new direction, to be transformed. Paul's faith is made up of things forfeited. How do we know that? That's what it says in our epistle from Philippians. I have suffered loss, Paul says, in order that I may gain Christ. So what did Paul forfeit? Paul forfeited plenty. Paul forfeited much. Paul forfeited title. Paul forfeited reputation. Paul forfeited professional friends and community standing. Paul gave up a steady income, and Paul gave up a warm bed for most nights. In fact, his bed eventually became a prison. But more importantly, he forfeited designing his own life, because when he gave his life to Christ, he knew that his life was not his own, on his own terms, in order to succeed himself. No, his life was about being with Christ, spreading the kingdom of God, telling others who and what Christ was about. For Paul, faith is an active response. For Paul, faith is an active response and is intentional. It's marked by movement, more and more to know more about the Lord. Paul gave up a career. He gave up a career for a calling and a vocation. And that calling and that vocation and that identity, the path in which he took, was lit by the Holy Spirit. He gave up the fantasy of independence. And so often in our world, we are told, you must be an independent person, which is basically saying that it's all about you and your needs and nobody else's. But he gave up the fantasy of independence for the truth of interdependence. Interdependence on Christ. He allowed what was in his head about Christ to enter his bloodstream, to enter his heart, even enter his calendar. Oh no, Christ has to enter my calendar? Hold on now, minister, you're gone from preaching to meddling now. But he allowed Christ to enter his calendar, enter his life choices. He took on Jesus' spirituality of simplicity. He became a scandal, because in that day, Jesus, by many of the authorities, especially the Roman rulers, was considered a scandal. When I reflect on Paul, St. Paul's life, it reminds me of the hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And the refrain goes like this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. All the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's what Paul did. He gave it up so that he could look fully into the face of Jesus. Things on earth grew dim because he knew of Christ's glory and grace. Like the biblical story of the rich man, we have become the rich man. And may Jesus, the poor beggar who sits at our personal gates waiting for us to say, come on in, Jesus. Come into my life. Show me how you would have me to be. Come in and allow me to host you so I can listen to you and be with you. Paul's forfeiture was the consequence of consuming himself with our Lord. Paul prayed without ceasing. He gave cheerfully, basking in the quiet that speaks to us so often, ever mindful that there is no condemnation or separation from the love of Christ Jesus. A life in Christ filled him up. It made him satisfied. He hungered no more with that life in Christ. The hole that he had in his soul and what all he was searching for had now been filled. It was filled with satisfaction and rescued him from the folly of entitlement and building of himself. A life devoted to Christ will rescue us as well. No matter where we are today, no matter what worries we may have, no matter what concerns we may have, a life filled with Christ fills that empty space and leaves you no longer hunger for anything else, because your life is not your own. You've given it to the Lord, and the Lord is guiding you. Paul never said, "I want to know lack." Paul never said, "I want to know hardship." Paul never said, "I want to know loneliness." No one wants that. He said, "I want to gain Christ." He said, "I want to know Christ. I want to be with Christ. I want to live Christ." He said, like John, "I must decrease, and Christ must increase and be elevated." Come what that may, he said. He said, no stuff, no self-preservation, no pride of possessions gained will keep me from that. As we end Lent and go towards Easter, what shall we do? Paul said it plainly. Press on toward the goal. Press on toward the goal. Paul had a goal-oriented faith. And we must as well. St. Paul's goal-oriented faith had three steps. Step one, forget what lies behind. Forget what lies behind. Society and people want you to feel guilty. Forget what has lied behind. Jesus has redeemed the past and brought us to a future with love, grace, forgiveness, and hope. So don't get stuck in the past. You are free, and those whom the Son has set free are free indeed. Step two, strain forward. Moving forward with Jesus takes some work. You have to confront your fears and you have to confront your doubts, but you can trust the process. Step three, press on towards the goal of a heavenly calling. Don't ever forget that you are holy people with a holy calling and a heavenly calling, and God has granted you a mission and ministry through your baptism when you were baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you have not been abandoned. You have a new identity in Christ, and that Christ is real. Our goal is God. Our goal is sharing God's good news with others. Our text from Paul also presses us to do more. Remember, he doesn't instruct the Philippians to rest on the good news. He calls them to action. Christianity is an action thing. Bishop Brewer, when he was here in February, quoted the Most Reverend Michael Curry, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. Bishop Curry said this: "Absalom Jones didn't just keep the faith, but he activated it." Absalom Jones just didn't keep the faith, but he activated it. This means looking around our own communities, asking if we are showing Christ to each other every day in ways that foster peace and usher in the kingdom of God. This means spending time in prayer, spending time in worship, spending time in discernment, spending time with your faith community, spending time so that your faith may be renewed and you may be spiritually fed. So what are you discerning? You are discerning your call and vocation. This means as disciples, our work as witnesses of our Lord isn't finished. No matter what age you are, your call is not finished. And the Lord has more for you to do. A life of faith is about action, continued and discerned. This is what pressing forward with Jesus is all about. Pressing on with Jesus is the only way to be right with God, a God who came among us gently, a God who lived wonderfully, a God who taught truth, a God who died violently, but has risen triumphantly, empowers generously, and remains our companion steadfastly. No words can contain our Lord. No words can contain what Jesus Christ did here on earth. And no words can stop the power of the Holy Spirit when we are deep in prayer and discernment about what God would have us to do. The best thing that we can do is to proclaim our Lord. Proclaim our Lord from the mountaintops. Proclaim our Lord in the neighborhood. Proclaim our Lord at work. Proclaim our Lord to all that we may meet. That's the whole point. Proclaiming. Proclamation. Today is Outreach Sunday, and we are blessed to have you here with us. Today, we honor you. We celebrate your ministry, and we are thankful. So how do we make the church sure the church is fulfilling its mission and ministry? The answer is clear. By focusing on people who are in need within our communities, supporting those who are helping others. This focus makes the church faithful to its vocation, calling, and mission. When the church has this focus, spiritual identity and footprint is increased. Paul says, God has composed the body so that greater dignity is given to the parts which are without it. And so there may not be disagreements inside the body, but each part may be equally concerned for all others. This is the true vision. Those in need are given to the church so that the church as the body of Christ can be and remain a place of mutual concern, love, and peace. Shortly, you will come up and receive a donation from the women's group ECW here at St. George. While it is a donation, to us it is more than that. We consider St. George to be a partner in ministry with you. You can count on us. Call on us when you are in need. You are in our prayers, and we are honored and blessed by your presence. Amen.